You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You know, I walked into the studio today and I became a little nostalgic because when I walked in, the computers were down. And I started thinking about the time 30 years ago that I was doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and we didn't have the computer set up that we have right now. So people would call in on the phone, and someone would run in the question to me, and I'd say, this is whoever from wherever listening on whatever, and then I'd answer the question. Well, today we have technology, but the technology has failed us. This is probably the first time in many decades, but we're sitting here without any computer assistance. But what we do have, we still have people running in questions to me that people are calling in, and so I'm still able to contact you. So this is a wonderful remembrance of what it was and what it now is, thanks to the gift of technology. But anyway, we are answering your questions, and people are running the questions into me. There's a question coming in from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Name John, and your question, John.
Hank, thank you. I've been memorizing the Gospel of John.
Oh, wonderful.
And over the years, this verse never bothered me, but when I was reciting it, my daughter asked me, what is the identity of the prophet in John 1:21?
Yeah, what's interesting about that, John, is that there is a prophet and there is the prophet. A prophet would be the way-shower. That would be John the Baptist. He is preparing the way for Messiah, but the prophet in context, particularly as you read John 1 and following, the prophet is Jesus Christ, whose coming Moses foretold back in Deuteronomy chapter 18. So you have a prophet, a way shower, John, and the prophet, Jesus Christ.
That's awesome. I never would have got there. Hank, God bless you. Your ministry is a blessing to many of us, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Bless you. And, you know, when people compliment me and what I'm doing, I'm sure most people have in mind the Christian Research Institute, the people that work here, and the many outreaches around the world. I can't do what I do without our staff. And beyond that, we cannot do as a staff, as an organization, what we do without those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And so we're deeply grateful for those doing just that. If you haven't joined CRI's monthly support team, a lot of ways you can do that. One is simply to contact us on the web at equip.org. Another is to write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or, of course, you can talk to one of our resource consultants by simply dialing 888-7000 and the letters CRI. And when you join, I'll personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, a friend. So every day I'm personalizing books to people who join CRI's monthly support team. We're also featuring the journal. This is our award-winning magazine, and you think about the questions that I answer on the broadcast. So often, those questions have been answered in the journal in full-orbed format. In other words, I can give a soundbite on the air, but this is the real deal in the Christian Research Journal. It is available for those who support the ministry. Obviously, for those who support, our other resources are available. But again, when you join CRI's monthly support team, I then personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member or friend. So just go to equip.org and you can join CRI's monthly support team. Okay, let's see. There's another one run in here. Kevin, he's in Apple Valley, California, and he's watching a video. So tell me about it, Kevin.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
The video from Paul Meyer, The Week That Changed the World, incredible DVD. One area on which I'm confused, the ossuary containing the bones of Caiaphas, according to Dr. Meyer, says Joseph bar Caiaphas. If I compare that to when Jesus said to Peter, Simon bar Jonah, doesn't that mean that that ossuary contains the bones of the son of Caiaphas? Or was Caiaphas a family name?
Yeah, this is actually the Caiaphas who presided over the religious trials of Jesus Christ, and that is not in dispute. I mean, this is conceded by both secular as well as spiritual authorities that have looked at the ossuary or the bone box. Josephus, in fact, tells us that the full name of the high priest was Joseph, who was called Caiaphas of the high priesthood. So Joseph was a nickname of sorts of the high priest we knew as Caiaphas. But there's no question whatsoever in archaeological circles that this is the Caiaphas who presided over the religious trials of Christ. By the way, I wrote about this in my book, Has God Spoken? I talk about how in 1990, this burial chamber, which actually dated all the way back to the first century, was discovered 2 miles south of Temple Mount, so very, very close to Temple Mount. And inside that chamber, what archaeologists discovered was 12 limestone ossuaries, and one of the boxes was elaborately decorated, as you might imagine, with a high priest. It had 6 petaled rosettes, and they had many other etchings that were very, very beautiful, and it contained the bones of a 60-year-old man and bore the inscription that we just talked about, Joseph, son of Caiaphas, meaning Caiaphas the high priest, who is in view in the gospel narratives himself.
Excellent. And what was the name of that book, Has Not God Spoken?
No, it's called Has God Spoken? So, you know, it's sort of a rhetorical question. I'm answering the question that God has spoken, that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. And I'm answering an attendant question, which is, if God has spoken, what has God said? And that entails learning how to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. I mean, we have hermeneutical chaos in the Christian world today. Everyone seems to be their own pope, and they have their own interpretation and come up with their own novel theories. And so I think it's ever more important that Christians, people that go to church, people that are united to Christ, that they learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. I oftentimes say it's an art, and that the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's a science, and that rules apply.
Thank you, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jack, Clarksville, Indiana. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I couldn't be doing better.
Well, thank you for taking my call. And, you know, I had my grandchildren over for Easter dinner, and we was kind of, I went to Matthew, you know, and reading about the crucifixion and all, and the part that my granddaughter's 13, and in Matthew 27, where it talks about the tombs opened up and the saints were walking amongst them. And she said, well, I thought when we died, we all went to heaven or hell. And the Bible's saying here that they were sleeping. And I really couldn't explain that. I didn't understand that myself. So maybe you can
enlighten me on it. What's really cool about this is no Christian ever really dies. In other words, no Christian ever dies in the sense that they do not have continued awareness in the presence of God. So absent from the body, present with the Lord. And there are a lot of non-normative circumstances that we read about in the Holy Scriptures. And in those circumstances, what we read about is God, by his own sovereign power, allowing someone to come back to this time-space continuum for his own grand and glorious purposes. You think, for example, of Mount Tabor, where Jesus is transfigured. All of a sudden, we see the law and the prophets, as it were, personified. You also have Peter, James, and John enveloped in a cloud of glory. So we see a non-normative event, but it shows that God, by his own power, can allow someone to come back. We see the same thing, by the way, in Samuel, where he comes back in the Old Testament, not because of the witch of Endor, but in spite of the witch of Endor. Now we have, in Matthew's Gospel, the greatest event in the annals of recorded history. It is going to take place. Jesus Christ is going to arise from the dead. And so Matthew's Gospel gives us a non-normative, earnest as it were, of the coming resurrection and the fact we too will stand. Of course, this goes all the way back to the time of perhaps the oldest book in the Bible. You read about Job, and he says of one thing he is certain, though his flesh is consumed, I will stand upon this earth again. We're coming to the station break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Steve, he's in Statesboro, Georgia. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I have a question for you concerning the phrase lordship salvation.
Yeah.
A little background. I went on a website, and I was looking at an article written by this guy, and a few articles, and one of them was, you know, titled "God Is an Iffy God," and I started reading that, and I understand that one must be in obedience to Christ's commands, but you don't earn your salvation doing that. But at the end, I asked this, I emailed this guy and asked him a couple of questions, and he went on and on and on, and then I asked him, then he told me, he goes, "But I do not believe in lordship salvation." And I was like, "I've never even heard the phrase before. Can you tell me what that is?" Or
yeah, there's actually an article that we carried, I believe, in the Christian Research Journal on lordship salvation, because it became a controversial issue in the church, much debated on two different sides of the spectrum as a result of publications that had come out at the time. And I still remember Dallas Willard. He has now gone on to be with the Lord, but he said at the lordship salvation debate that the key difference to emphasize in this debate concerns whether or not we are alive to God. In other words, are we trusting in the real person and the real presence of Jesus Christ such that we have confidence in Him in every single dimension of our real lives? Or are we simply trusting some arrangement for sin remission set up through Him? So are we trusting only in His role as a guilt remover? Or are we trusting Him as the one that gives us life in the present? And this is one of the things that I have experienced in a kind of a wonderful way. I've explained this on a past broadcast, but it's maybe best illustrated by Kathy, my wife, and myself. Kathy was always, I would say, very emblematic of life. She had this deep an abiding experience of Christ in her life is just a wonderful thing to behold over the years. I was more skewed to the side of truth, which is to say that I debated truth, I defended truth, I defined truth. But I discovered many, many years ago that the menu is not the meal. The menu is absolutely necessary, but it points to a meal. At any rate, because of my wife's influence and some experiences that I had going to China, seeing the progeny of Watchman Nee, I really came to a deep and abiding understanding of life. So it wasn't just truth, but it was life. And a great friend of mine, his name is Elijah, he once told me, "You know, Hank, truth matters, but life matters more." And at the time, it was hard for me to fully grasp how that could be. But since then, I have come to an understanding that life and truth matter, and that's why that's the moniker of our ministry. So going back to the analogy of Kathy and I, it's sort of as though our paths converged at life and truth. So now I have that deep and abiding desire to not just know about Jesus Christ, but to know Him, to experience Him. as my wife has for so many years. And she has this really great desire to know truth. In fact, we joined a local fellowship close to our home because that fellowship allowed her so many opportunities to learn, to grow, to develop. And it has been a wonderful experience for us. It has really connected us in that sense. So here's the point. The point is, look, Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. That's what we're declaring him to be. We're not talking about some one-time transactional circumstance in our life that happened sometime in the past, but we're talking about an active faith. We're walking with Christ. We're walking with the community of Christ. And in doing that, we grow in grace and knowledge. And we achieve sanctification, or as the early church fathers talked about it, theosis. We become what God is, not by nature, but we're brought into the fellowship of the Trinity. We are indeed, as Luther said, we are indeed those who become Word. A Word became flesh, said Luther, so that flesh might become Word. And that is so true. Again, we cannot become what God is in the Godhead, but we can participate in the graces of God and thereby experience Christ not only as Savior in a transactional sense, but Savior and Lord in the ultimate sense. Again, there's an article, I think it's up on the web, at equip.org for further information. Appreciate your call. More calls coming in from all over the place. Next up, we have Christine listening in Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your ministry. My question, I sense, is probably pretty basic. Just a little background. I was raised Catholic, and I consider myself a fairly new Christian. I found a life-giving church, and probably for the last 7 years, I've been in a community that's encouraged a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is just absolutely wonderful. My question is about Jewish faith. I had a cousin convert to Judaism. And when I said to her, this was years ago, and I was just kind of flabbergasted, I said to her, well, what about Jesus? I don't understand how God's chosen people didn't accept Jesus Christ, and what does that mean?
Well, you know, I think as you ask the question about what Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who reject the prophets and persecute them, how often I have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. So there are those who, whether they're Jewish or whether they're of some other identity, there are those who reject Messiah, and likewise there are Jews who embrace Messiah, recognizing that only Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of the Old Testament prophecies. So what happens to people who reject Jesus? Well, I've often said the absence of truth is not what damns. It's the despising of truth that damns. We have the light of creation. We have the light of conscience. And if we respond to that light, we can receive the light of Christ. And this is what's so beautiful. If you look in the Old Testament, where they're simply looking forward to Jesus through types and shadows. So they don't see everything clearly like we do. And yet, you see Rahab, who believed Yahweh, the God of Israel, and was brought into all the types and shadows that would ultimately consummate in Christ. Or you see Ruth, she was a Moabite, the archenemy of Israel, and yet she was true Israel. She's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So this was not an ethnicity, it was a function of believing in Yahweh, the God of Israel, revealed in Christ, and now Christ has been revealed. So Christ stands on the apex of history, and the ultimate question is, what do you do with Christ? Do you receive him, or do you reject him? Well, if you have the knowledge, in other words, the knowledge of creation, there is a God, the knowledge of conscience, God has written his DNA on the tablet of our conscience, if you have that knowledge, then you can get the further knowledge. And I love the way Jesus, I oftentimes quote this, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He said, light came into darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the ultimate issue here is not, do I have enough information? The ultimate issue is, do I love light? Because if I love light, I'll receive more light. One other text, and I love to quote this. This is Paul on Mars Hill, and he's saying, from one man, God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, which means, again, that if you sincerely seek after truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you will find truth. So we leave people in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God, knowing that he will always, in the judgment, make the perfect judgment. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that we do what we do because people stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And what we're about is the Father's business. And we are deeply grateful for those who are joining with us in this battle by supporting and by praying. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org. where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.